All right. One announcement I need to give you is this coming Wednesday, the 17th, evening service is canceled. I've already had some things scheduled to be done, so I will not be here Wednesday night. So no midweek service. All right. Let's see. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. If or since there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now listen to what he's saying. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, the Apostle Paul says, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Father, we thank you today, again, for allowing us to be here, to be in the presence of God and of Christ, to be under the authority of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the word today. Father, I pray that you would just take it and use it in the abilities and in the ways that you would have to be done. Thy will be done. Lord, we just thank you that you would just help us to broaden our minds and open our hearts again to the greater things of God. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Over these next few weeks, as my time remains, it is still my responsibility to bring to the church of what is the responsibilities of the people. That is where the message comes from today. When the Lord gave me this message this week, I was grateful and gracious for that because I have been in churches where the pastor left and things tend to get a little awry. And this is why the message is today. So it's to give each of us information, the Word of God, to understand and to know what our responsibilities are. Not saying there's going to be awry-ness. I'm just saying that it is my responsibility to give it to you. I'm going to give you a statement the Lord gave to me yesterday. A church family is made up of many different personalities, backgrounds, social and financial statuses, and even ideas. This is why it is important for individuals and their families to be in the will of God concerning church attendance and church membership. Jesus Christ is to be the head of the church, and the church is to be faithfully and blindly following his will. However, this is the place where human confusion and sometimes human contention steps in. It must be understood that the wills of God is not always the ways of man. I think any Christian can identify with that in their own personal life. Yes, amen. So, as a church family, we must ask ourselves this one very important question. Are we going to do what the Lord wants us to do, or are we going to do, or I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. I'm reading ahead. Are we going to do what we want to do, or are we going to do what Jesus wants us to do? Years ago, when I first came here, we had the old church, older church sign, and on that church sign said Hedgeville Baptist Church, Pastor Scott Sheets. I took that down because it's not my church. I've been very blessed and honored to be here for 17 years. 17 years that the Lord has blessed me. Not one minute do I regret. I'm grateful. I'm looking forward to moving on to that next step. Because that next step is the Lord keeps opening more and more doors. I'm leaving because my time is up. That's why I'm leaving. I want to be honest with you for a moment, for those that are watching too. Anybody that's ever known somebody that's worked towards retirement, now I'm not retirement age, I'm getting there. If my gray hair was indicative of that, I'd be retiring tomorrow. But simply, the Lord is blessing my wife and I with the ability to move on and to live our life together. For the last 37 years total, I've been in a ministry role, in a leadership role through law enforcement. Last 10 years of my law enforcement career, I believe I did as much ministry as I did law enforcement. 17 years here. And he is honoring my wife and I with the opportunity to be able to move on, to slow down, to live our life together where we're at. Still be in ministry. So if anybody says I'm leaving ministry, tell them no. My ministry title will change. That is it. I'll get into the text. I had to take a long ride Friday. I had to go somewhere. And on my ride, I was praying a lot. And as I've told you all before, and I'll tell you again, I have a huge heart for pastors. And I want to go help them, and I'm going to. And that door has been open, and it's just getting wider. I had it set in my mind that I thought, well, if I'm able to go help a pastor, I'm going to be able to help him and his wife. Because if I help him, I'm going to be able to help his wife. Amen.
Amen.
But the Lord told me the other day, Friday, when I was driving up to Western Maryland, he said, who I lead you to and who you help, you will not only be helping them, you will be helping everyone that they are ministering to. I never thought of that. It never once crossed my mind. And I thought, if there's a pastor that I can help and he's ministering to 100 people, then there's 100 at least people that I'll be able to help. That's all this is. It's just a transition of time. Just as some of you have retired and some of you will come to a point of retirement, it's the exact same thing. This text is vitally important to me stepping out, a search committee stepping in, finding the man that needs to be here, and y'all supporting him. But there's a transition time. Now, what that time is, I don't know. It could take a month. It could take 6 months. It could take a year. I have no idea. But irregardless of how long it takes for the church to find the man of God that the church needs, it's going to be on you all. And y'all have to be strong. And you have to stick together. And you have to do what y'all need to do. Y'all understand that? The Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, this is a huge advancement of ministry and understanding about where the people are at. Now again, he's going to lay all of this out and he's going to identify, he is going to identify with the Christian individual. And this is how he does this. It is an individual basis of one he was talking about when it's the Lord's work, when it's the Lord's will, it needs to be the Lord's way. And he steps up and he writes this out and he makes it very clear. He starts out by identifying the Christian. And there's 4 points that he makes in this opening statement in verse 1. And I want to lay these out for you this morning So Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, for a ministry to be successful, there's 4 points. The people must use Christ's strength that's found in their personal salvation. Are you actually saved? The second point is the people must stay like-minded in Christ. The third thing is the people must avoid vainglory. And the fourth is that the people must look after one another. So back to verse 1. So looking at the first step and the first point here is that the Christians need to use the Christ-centered strength that is found in their salvation. So if, meaning since there be therefore, or if, it says if, but you understand the word, the context of the word, since there be consolation in Christ, since there be encouragement in Christ. Now notice how he walks the Christians through this. He says, because before wisdom, you need encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. So here he says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, this is not a question mark of, but a question, are you going to use it for your embetterment? The second thing he comes across is, and he says, so if there is any comfort that can be gained through his love. Do you feel the comfort and the love in Jesus Christ? It's okay. We're in church. Come on. The third point is that so if there is any fellowship with the Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ in you? Which is one of the first evidences of whether you're a Christian or not. A lot of people walk through life and they call themselves Christians, but there's no presence of the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul identifies and says that you need to understand that to be a Christian, to know that you're a Christian, to formulate your life around Christian strength, is to realize that the evidence of that is that the Holy Spirit is actually in you. Don't be afraid of Him. Too many Christians, too many Baptists are afraid to mention the Holy Spirit because they're afraid they're going to get tagged with a title. If He is in your heart, if He is in your life, and if He is indwelling in you, don't be ashamed of Him. Call on Him frequently and use Him. The fourth part here is that, so if there is any affection and mercy associated with Jesus, is these things in you? So as a church, whether it's looking for a new pastor or whether it's an established pastor or whatever the work is, if it's a new work, an old work, whatever the case would be, is that the Apostle Paul says that as he opens this up, he tells the Christians, he says, look deep into your own hearts. Look into who you are as an individual. Seek the wisdom of God. Find the peace in humility, because every one of these 4 points that the Apostle Paul brings out here in this first verse is about bringing about the peace of the worship and the accountability of personal faith. That's what all this is about. It's not about anything else. Because here's the thing, if we can't be confined and secure in our own faith, then how can we be confined in our faith together? It's like having a husband on one spiritual line and a wife on another one. It'll stand for a little while, but eventually it breaks apart because it's divided. So here he says that we need to have that blessed assurance. So if this Christ, if this encouragement, if this comfort, if this love, if this fellowship, if this Spirit, if the affections and the mercies are associated with this Jesus and it is in you, are you saved? Are you pushing your own agendas? That's one of the things that happens in a church, and it's happening here, and you're going to see this. This is part of the text. That when especially in this situation, when the pastor leaves, the people start pushing their own opinions. And that's not what the ministry is about. It's not about you doing what you want. It's not me doing what I want. It's what the Lord wants. It's His ministry. It's His wills. It's His way. This is what the church focuses on. And this is why we ask ourselves, are we born again Christians? We have to ask ourselves that. Are we following in the ways of Christ? Is He in us? Is He consoling us? Is He encouraging us? Is He comforting us? Is He in fellowship with us? Is He giving us the affections and the mercies that can only come through Him? Is it here? Is it in us? That's what we all have to ask. We have to ask that not just in the church, but we have to ask that in our personal lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. As the Apostle Paul concludes this letter, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be complete, be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." That's what this is about. This is about finding that graciousness and finding that solitude and finding that one mindedness and living in peace and pushing forward and pressing forward and doing all of these things. This is what it's about. That's what ministry is about. That's what ministry is about for you. That's what ministry is about for me as a pastor. And until 2359 on the 6th, that is my responsibility. Come April 7th, my responsibility ends. But my responsibility is here for now. And I will maintain that responsibility. And I will do what I need to do. And I will help you the way that I can. This is what it's about. Because we all have that responsibility. Are we Christians? Are we saved? Are we doing the right things? Does our conduct represent what we're doing and saying? This is exactly what he's saying here. That we find that blessed assurance. Point number two. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. The second point is that we as Christians and that we as church family, that we, the people, must stay like-minded in Jesus Christ. So Paul tells the church that they can fulfill his personal peace. Now the Apostle Paul is not being, now listen to me with this, I need to make this very clear. The Apostle Paul is not being arrogant. He's saying, because I'm the preacher, I need you to make me feel good. That's not what he's saying. It sounds like that when you read this text, but that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that I want to have peace in my heart knowing that y'all are okay. Amen. And that's where my heart's at. I want to know, because my life moves on, but your life remains. So he comes and he says, listen, let's find the like-mindedness of Christ. Think the same way. 4 points here. In verse 2, he says, you as the church needs to think the same way. You need to be of the same mind, of the same heart, doing the same thing. Having the same love one towards another. You don't kindly affection one person because you're closer to them, and you kindly unaffection another person because you don't like them. Amen. You love, let me tell you what, we're all going to get along in heaven. You better be getting along now. Amen. So that way it won't be a new relationship in heaven, it'll be an old one. Having the same love one towards another. I know some of you, why are you preaching this? Because the Lord gave it to me. I've done this a long time. Not as long as some, but I've learned a lot. Come on, y'all smile. Whew, man. Let me do this again. Y'all ready? Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, there we go. All right, there's 4 points to this that the Apostle Paul says. That Paul tells the church that they can fulfill his personal peace. This is the heart of the pastor, but it's the heart of the pastor because of the people. He says, thinking the same way is where you need to be. He says, having the same love one towards another. He says, sharing the same feelings. Whoa, feelings, intimacy, closeness, unity. That's what he's talking about. Sharing the same feelings. Sharing what is right, sharing the graciousness of God. What does he mean by that? He's not talking about human connection. He's talking about spiritual connection through a biblical relationship that brothers and sisters have in Jesus Christ. Amen? This is what he's talking about here. Sharing these same feelings in Jesus. Because again, I'm not going to read it again, but we saw all that in verse 1. And finally, in verse 4, he says, focusing on one goal. There's one goal. There's one hope. There's one mercy. There's one end run. There is one thing that it should be. And it should be Jesus Christ. Paul's heart. Now just listen to this. Paul's heart was to see the church family work together in harmony and clear up any petty quarrels. This is what's going on in the text. I told y'all that and I'm bringing it out here. It's part of the text. Specifically, the division that was caused by the indifferences of two women, Euodias and Syntyche. These were two women that were in the church here in Philippi. They were having an indifference between themselves and it was spreading through the church. Because people was taking sides. They were picking sides and they were, well, I want to follow this person. Let me tell you what, you better follow Jesus. Amen. And don't be so biblically unsure in believing that you'll only be held accountable in heaven, because trust me, you'll be held accountable here too. Amen. Here's a contention. Here's a division. We don't get on people's side. We help solve sides. We fix problems. We work together. We find the purpose and the graciousness of God, and we realize that it's not us that we're trying to fix. It's the relationship and the work of the Lord, and that we move forward with it. That's what it's about. It's about finding that. This is a great example here of what the Apostle Paul was talking about. This is a problem that is taking place in the church. The church is divided because this person wants to go with Euodias here and Syntyche here, and it's causing this great division. If you take personal sides, then I can promise you, you're not on the side of Christ. And that's in anything. That's your own personal life too. Don't turn there. I got two references I want to give you this morning. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." I'm not saying it's here. I'm saying beware that it doesn't get here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in the churches of the saints." If there's confusion, there's contention, there's not clarity. If we're focused on Jesus and doing what Christ wants, then we do what we do because it's the right thing to do. Third point, the people must avoid vainglory. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says in verse 3. "Let nothing," now pay attention to the words that he uses here. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each person esteem one another better than themselves." I'm to do better for you than I'm to do for myself. I'm to help you more than I'm to help myself. The selflessness of ministry of church family. Now, I know that there are times that people treat church family the way that we treat our own personal families. And I know there's a lot of families that's always been that way. I know, blah, blah, blah. Goes back to Genesis 3, the dysfunction of the family. I know that in many people that in the world that their personal family is very dysfunctional. And because they're used to that lifestyle, they try to bring that in here thinking it should be the same thing. That is not what the Word of God teaches us. If you have a dysfunctional family outside the church, it is what it is and you need to fix it. But that mentality is not to be brought into the church. Y'all with me? Okay. So he says, let nothing be done. It doesn't matter what it is. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Let nothing be done out of rivalry and conceit of mind and of heart. That's what those words actually mean in the Greek. So do nothing out of rivalry and conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourself. Always putting the other person. Look at it as a marriage. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. Amen? If you don't pay attention to your bride, well, she's going to pay extra special attention to you. Y'all getting that?
Yeah.
You ain't paying attention to your bride, she's going to pay extra special attention to you. She's going to let you know. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. So what do? We pay attention because we love her, because no matter if you've been married for 20 years or however long you've been married, she's your bride. Here it is, guys. You chose her.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You're the one that chose her. Don't matter what it was. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. I ain't going to go there, but still, it's like you chose her. Love her. Because guess what? There's days when Jesus really, he looks down at us and he's like, you know what? I love you, but you're very unlovable right now.
Oh, amen.
Amen. We can all wear that title. I can guarantee you that one. But he says, do nothing through strife and vainglory. Do nothing through rivalry or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, everything that is done for the body. It's not done for one member. Amen. It's all about all things coming together. It's about all things working together. I can tell you now, after 17 years of ministry and being a deacon for 5 years and all the other things, there was times since I've been a pastor, I'm like, Lord, I want to do this. He said, no. Lord, I want to do this and move forward with that. And he said, no. And finally, I got to the point where I got tired of hearing no, so I stopped asking the questions. Y'all with me? Y'all can relate to that in your own personal life. But it has to be done together. It cannot be done in derision and division. It cannot be done through rivalry and conceit of heart. It must be done through humility, bringing and adjoining everybody together. So when we look, and this is the one here in verse 3 of the text here, we are to avoid vainglory. What does avoid mean? It means to not do anything that is motivated by selfishness, personal vanity, haughtiness of mind, and self-interest. You come together and do these things together. It doesn't matter if it's in your home or if it's in the church. Here also we need to focus on. We need to consider others as more important to ourselves. We need to find the accountability of faith. It's about what Christ wants, not about us. You know, one of the most difficult things I believe that all of us as Christians encounter after we're saved, and I was there too many years ago, is realizing that when I became a Christian, my life was no longer my own, that my life belonged to Jesus Christ, and I had a lot of difficulties because I kept trying to do what I wanted to do. Y'all with me? I mean, y'all understand that one. I've been there. We've all been there. So we're doing it for the cause of Christ. We're doing it for Him. We're doing it because it's what Jesus wants. It's like somebody trying to come into your house and tell you that you're going to change the color of your carpet or change the color of the paint on the walls, and you're going to look at them and say, it's about time for you to leave. And that's as you got them and you're walking them out. Amen? You ain't coming in my house and tell me what I'm going to do. And that's the one thing about the church. It's His. Well, if it is His, you know what I mean? If it is His work, if it's His church, it's what He wants. It's His way. I'm glad this building's not going to be in heaven because it ain't good enough to be there. You with me? I said the building. As nice as it is, this ain't going to be there. It ain't good enough to be there. But Christians, we are. Because of Him. Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 and 10. I'm Must be a common theme with churches, because the Apostle Paul, as he addressed it in Philippi, here he's addressing it in Rome. Let love be without hypocrisy. Dissimulation, hypocrisy. Here's a personal choice. He said, abhor, detest personally that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And honor, preferring one another. Looking to the graciousness of hope and of mercy. Now, I can tell you right now, there would be a whole lot stronger Christian families in America and across the world if we would focus on that. I'm just talking about Christian families outside the church. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And again, there's times that when we have contentions outside of the church in personal relationships, we think it's normal, so we try to bring it in. The contention is not to be there. We are to have brotherly love if you're a Christian, if you're really a Christian. But in honoring, preferring one another. Ah, the Lord is so gracious to us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, back to the text in verse 4. So everything in verse 3 that is the embetterment, it's the embetterment of the entire body. It doesn't suit and fit the abilities of one. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The fourth point here that I have this morning is simply this, is that we are to look after one another. I can tell you in all the years that I was a police officer, and we had a few that was dirty, and I'll stay out of the rest of that, but we had a few that was dirty, knew what they was doing. The administrators was just trying to get enough evidence on them to be able to either bring charges or just dismiss them. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If they jumped on that radio and they screamed for help, I drove just as fast to get to help them as I would anybody else. I can tell you that now. And it happened a few times. When it all comes down to the end, like we used to say, no matter the color of the uniform, we all bleed red. And we're to be here. Troopers stopped the car out here in the parking lot yesterday. I was over at the house and I just stood out there and just watched. Because I thought, boy, if something happens and something goes wrong, I'm going to run over there as fast as I can. I'm going to help him. Blue runs deep. But the Christian love should run deeper. If you truly love the work, you should love the people. If you truly love the work, you should love the people. A man of flesh here in verse 4 is selfish desires, looking out for number one. Talking about his own things. So we're not looking out for what we're not looking out for what we want. We're looking out for what God wants. But a person following the Holy Spirit will live their life obedient to Christ and will serve their fellow Christians. And here's the thing. You don't have to have a title in the church to do that. Just the title of Christian. If somebody is hurting, it doesn't have to be taken before a committee and the committee sit down and talk about it. If there's a need, we help one another. Whether it's prayer, whether it's picking up, whether it's helping, whether it's encouraging, no matter what it is, sometimes discouraging is helping because you're telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. We need to find wisdom of growth. That's what we read in Proverbs chapter 12 this morning in Sunday school. But if a person is seeking the wills and the ways of God and the Spirit of God lives within them, then they're going to live their life obedient to Christ. They're going to see the purpose of Christ. They're going to follow through and help man in the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't turn there as I close. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24 says this: let no person seek out their own good. Let no person seek out their own good, but they should seek out what is good for everyone else. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about him, and it's about us. The whole thing of it is, when it comes down to church family, you can like Jill and you can like the way she plays, but then you may not like the way she plays, but you might like Jill. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? If you don't like the way she plays the piano, but you like her as a person, then you're going to like her as a person because of the way she plays the piano.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not trying to get deep in theology here this morning. I'm just trying to make a point. Just like I've said before, my wife looked at me many times over those early years. She says, I love you, but I don't like you.
Yes.
And I had to be honest with myself and look at myself back then and go, yeah, I don't like myself either. Amen. This work has been here since 1977. It's had its ups before I got here. It's had its downs before I got here. It's had its ups since I've been here. It's had its downs since I've been here. But my time is coming to an end. What Jesus needed me to do has been fulfilled. I'm leaving because he's moving me. But I hope you're staying and doing the right thing because it's what he wants.
Amen.
I promise you this. When I leave here, I ain't calling nobody. You may think that. I'm not going to be calling, what went on in this meeting? What went on in this meeting? What's going on here? What's going on there? April 7th, my responsibility is finished. Will I pray for this work? This ministry means more to me than any ministry, and it's not because I've been the pastor. It's been because my wife and my family and I have been here for almost 25 years. And I will always love you. I will always pray for you. I want to be able to, 5 years down the road, if I'm visiting this area again, if I decide to ride by here, I hope to see great grandeur and glorious things. But what I want most of all is that if I come back here and I pull onto this parking lot, I want to feel the Holy Spirit and his peace here. That's what I want. You'll forget me soon enough. Some of you are already forgetting me. This is not vain. Listen to me. But my name means nothing here. But it means everything with him. That's the same for you. For you. And for me. Do what's right. Serve the Lord. Serving with all of your heart. Loving with all of your mind and your soul. And give him everything. Because it's his. It's all his. As Sister Jill comes up, I know I've got a few more weeks. But I've been proud to serve here. And I'm proud to know you. Keep doing God's will. And let his way be known. That's why this church has been here since 1977. And it will continue to be here if you seek him. As we stand this morning,